This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game, it's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters, the hockey moms and hockey dads, and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house.
The hits literally keep on coming from one boxing event to the next. They grow in excitement and anticipation. And this week is no different with two of sports' most respected fighters stepping into the ring. This Saturday night, there is no better place to get in on all the actions than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all new users a shot at turning $1 into $55. To celebrate this weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering new users the opportunity to get 55-1 odds on either the main event fighter to win this weekend's fight. That's bet $1, and if the fighter of your choice wins, you win $55. Plus, with basketball and hockey playoffs right around the corner, DraftKings Sportsbook has even more ways for you to make it rain. DraftKings Sportsbook is safe, secure, and reliable, meaning you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering them a chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Ray Ray.
And I'm your other co-host, Breezy.
And you're listening to episode 660. And on this episode, we're heading to Tampa Bay, Florida, to talk to a member of the organization, the in-game host, Greg Wolf. In case you forgot, they're the reigning Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have clinched a spot in the playoffs, so get ready for that. The conversation with Greg is really fun. We hear all about like the fan celebration and the parades and the parties and incredible fan stories. I think you're really going to be able to get a feel for what the Tampa Bay Lightning fans are like just from hearing Greg talk about him being a fan and the other fans. And I mean, haters are going to hate, right, Breeze?
Yeah, exactly. I just have to say, I love that he calls himself the Wolf and how like everyone in his like community also calls him the Wolf. That just made me laugh every time I said it. So
I know. And we didn't ask
him. Don't mind
him.
My little snickers. I'm like.
And, you know, we didn't ask him that, but like, that's the obvious answer is that's his last name. And, you know, I think it's a perfect last name. Like, of course you call him the Wolf. You didn't call him Greg.
Just throw the Wolf in. I'm like, oh my God.
Throw the Wolf in.
This is awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. Greg and I have a lot of similarities in our broadcasting career paths, though also a lot of different, you know, we've each made different choices, but it was interesting to hear. I was like, oh, I did that too. Oh, and I did that, but in this city. And, you know, it was just interesting to hear someone like me, but not,
you know, not,
but not at all. And he doesn't know any of my family members in Tampa. You'll hear that in the interview. And he does know some people that I worked in radio with. And yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, but in other news, what's going on in your life?
Well, To be honest,
Well.
absolutely nothing. Aside from watching every day to see which teams have clinched a playoff spot. The New York Islanders just got a spot, which I'm very excited about for my boy Barzal. And Barry Trotz, love me some Trotz. I'm excited, like seeing now, because every day another team is getting eliminated and/or a spot in the
Yeah.
playoffs, and that this time of year is when I think hockey gets really, really exciting, and that's
Oh,
when your
definitely.
emotions are like all over, because if your team is one of those teams on the fence of like getting a guaranteed spot, you're like, I really want them to get in, but every single game is really, really freaking stressful. And if they don't get in, then you can kind of relax, but then you're also really upset that they aren't in the playoffs. And then if they do make it into the playoffs, now you're like, oh my God, I've got to go through 500 more rounds of hockey in this like anxious, stress state of like biting my nails while I watch the TV. Or I might be alone in this, Breezy, but that's how I operate.
No, I think though, I think a lot of people are in the same boat as you. So, myself included, it's a stressful time of year. I'm not gonna lie. It's very stressful. I'm planning my outfits for game days. You gotta represent. It's tough. A lot goes into it being a hockey fan, and at the same time too, you don't want to be a jinx.
Right,
So
which
you
we
need
know
to,
you think you can be a
yeah.
jinx.
I can. So I think the best thing for me to do is just to not say anything. I just need to
Okay.
go with the flow, and just let the boys play.
All right. That's your plan of action.
I think that's my plan of action. Can't celebrate too hard for a win. Can't under celebrate a win either. It's a very, very, very thin line. We got to walk on, folks.
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
We got to be careful.
Yeah.
I am a little bit sad about the Blackhawks' legacy of the last decade is really, really, really coming apart. Like, it's a reality, and I have to acknowledge it, and it makes me really sad. Because Andrew Shaw, who is AKA the Mutt, he announced his retirement from the Blackhawks due to concussion, too many concussions, and strong doctor recommendations. And they were showing clips, like I watched like a little 5-minute video he made to just, address the fans and the team, and just to say his piece and thank you and all of this. And Corey Crawford retired earlier the beginning of the season, and Taze is out, and all of these, like, and Sharpie isn't on the team anymore. And they were showing a clip of Shaw, Sharp, Taze, Keith, and Seabrook, I think, on the ice. And I was like, that was freaking magic. Like, those got all of those guys were all on the ice together. Like, like, I'm sure you have this with the Kings, like just seeing those clips and like knowing what they've accomplished, and like now looking at the team, I'm like, oh, it's Keith alone with the fourth line. Oh, okay. I'm like,
That's
it's just
funny.
not the same. It's not the same. And it's like,
That's funny.
it's so beautiful, but like what we had and how like wonderful those moments were when you win and you're just incredible and you're vibing with your team and like the teammates, like we talk about with Tampa, like the Lightning, how they just bonded in Stockholm. You'll hear that story with our interview with Greg. And it's just sad to see, Shawzy retire, and he's young, and yeah.
Well, when you said that, I immediately had like a picture like pop into my head. And it's like, have you seen the movie The Sandlot?
Yes.
You know, at the very end, how like you start seeing them like start to fade away or like run. That's what I imagined when you talked to me about that picture. So
Oh, it's that's just fun. Sad.
I love The Sandlot.
That's such a good movie. You know, I say to Ringo, you're killing me, Smalls, like all the time.
Yeah.
He has no clue.
It's the best. Killing me, Smalls.
It's good. But do you feel that way, like when you look at your kings now? Like,
I mean, there's everybody that, you know, so much has changed. There were so many good players that had so many good connections. And I mean, that 70s line was, you know, it triumphed a whole team sometimes. And you got to figure then they started to kind of collapse in on themselves. And then Tanner Pearson was sent away. And then Tyler Toffoli was shipped away. And now Jeff Carter is gone. There's no more that 70s line. And I mean, even Brownie, he's definitely got some more years left in him, but you know, with contracts and him being older, he's thriving now, but like how much longer is he going to be on the ice? And I don't know, it's tough. Quick's not the same guy. And you know, something's going to be happening with the Kraken. Obviously they're officially official
right
now. So we'll see what happens. It's sad when teams get broken up, players get traded, and people start getting, you know, retiring, but that's the nature of the game. And it's sad, but I think it just kind of makes you appreciate the game with these guys playing in the moment. So that's all you got to think about.
Yeah, I know. It's still sad. Like, I can't even imagine. There's a fly on my computer. I can't even imagine what it's like for these guys. Like, just as a fan, to feel like sadness for them, but like also like happiness of those moments, but sadness that it's over. I mean, I'm nowhere near close to what the players go through. And I'm sure a lot of them don't even have time to process any of that, especially if they're like a Jeff Carter and they're being traded, you know, and like, you don't have time. You just have to put your head down and get on the ice and make it work and figure out how this new team is going. But there was something else I was going to say and it disappeared. The Kraken. Oh, with the Kraken. So because of that, like you were saying, so many people of fans of all of the teams in the league are going to have their hearts crushed because a lot of players and a lot of players that are probably very well liked are going to be heading to Seattle, just like when Fleury left Pittsburgh and went to play for the Knights. Like, that was gut-wrenching for Penguins fans, but Penguins fans still love him and support him, though I don't think any of them would say they're Knights fans, but, you know, there will be people like that. It's going to be, shit's going to get real crazy in the next 3 months.
I'm really curious to see who the first person they sign is going to be, but it's really starting to like get to me and stress me out. And like, I'm starting to lose sleep over it. So like, I had to like do some research and I was like, predictions for who the Kraken's going to select for each team. And so like, I read all these different things and I was like, I gotta stop. I just need to stop.
See, that's where your like stress comes in, is like that. And I'm just like stressed out about like the playoffs and like if my team's in, what kind of emotional state am I going to be in for the next 3 months? Well,
but I do think that that has stress on players though, because although they are saying, you know, we focus on the next game or what's going to be happening, you know that they're thinking in the back of their head, is this going to be my last game with this team? Is this going to be my last playoff game with this team or in this building or whatever? Because anybody, you know, I'm sure it's stressful for a lot of people, but you got to be one step ahead.
Yep. And hope that the team camaraderie with the players is there. Because I think the last two Stanley Cup champions, I think that was the magic special sauce, was the player coach camaraderie magic, good health with the players, you know, like all of those things, but especially the camaraderie. So who is that team this year?
I'm not going to say a word.
Well, on that note, I think we should just send it on over to the Wolf. Our podcast is proud to be on the Hockey Podcast Network, and the network is home to many other incredible podcasts, including this one.
What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on the show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show, goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcast.
Welcome to the house, Greg Wolf. He is the game night MC for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He is in his 14th season in the role with the team. He is energetic. He has this infectious personality and love for the Lightning. And when he isn't working with the Lightning, Wolf serves as the VP of Street-Laced Marketing and Promotions. And you can also catch him as the in-game host for the USF Bulls football, as well as the men's and women's basketball programs. Get ready for some energy, some stories, some incredible knowledge about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the experience for fans and even for away visitors. Enjoy our infectious and energetic conversation with Greg.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and what you do?
My name is Greg Wolf. I am the in-game host for the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is my 14th season as in-game host for the Lightning. I also am the in-game host for University of South Florida, which is my alma mater, for their football and women's and men's basketball programs as well. So
go Bulls!
Go Bulls! we stay quite busy. It's good to be back actually at work. Obviously we know COVID was rough for everybody, but especially those in the sports, entertainment, event industry, as we are. So just to be back now, with the fans and even in a limited capacity is fantastic. And our boys are having a pretty good season thus far. You know, it doesn't happen very often when you win the Stanley Cup. How you fare the next season as a team, and we're kind of breaking those trends this year as the boys are playing relatively well right now. So hopefully we can carry this momentum. Hopefully we're getting Kucherov and Stamkos back to kind of go through the playoff run, which we haven't had. That's the remarkable thing about our run too, is we haven't had Kucherov the entire season. The best player in the world has not been playing this entire year. And now Stamkos, who, you know, he's had some injury issues over the years, for him not to be playing right now, I think is more, if I had to guess, I would think it's more of a rest situation to get a full 100% team ready for the run that lies ahead here in just a couple weeks. So, I've been the host for 14 seasons, a lot of ups and downs in those 14 seasons, as you can imagine. I actually started with the team in the 06 season. So we won the cup in 2004. There was a lockout year in 2005. And then I joined the team in 2006 and was actually in the team in marketing. I was the marketing coordinator for the Lightning and kind of took over the hosting duties in the 06-07 timeframe. Also did that for our arena football team, the Tampa Bay Storm, which is now a defunct league. But did that for years as well, which was awesome. I loved the arena football league. It was so much fun. I've been doing it for 14 seasons. The only time I was not the host was when our ownership group went from the Davidson era. Bill Davidson, who owned the Detroit Pistons and he owned the Lightning for the longest, sold the team to an ownership group. Like you said, I'm gonna not name names. We just call them the Cowboys. That's what they're referred to in the industry. And so the Cowboys came in and it was just a bad few years. They didn't really know what they were doing. Unfortunately, those of us that worked in the organization were not their hires, so to speak. So they basically let go of everybody. It was awful. It was terrible. And that was in 2009. And then I got a job working for iHeartRadio, was a marketing coordinator, director for iHeartRadio and promotions. And the team got bought by Jeffrey Vinnick, who is currently one of the best owners in all of sports. Mm-hmm. He hired Todd Leiwicki, who is now overseeing the Seattle Kraken. But Todd Leiwicki was our CEO that he brought in to run the organization. And the fans, when I exited, kept asking, what happened to Wolf? Where is the Wolf? And, you know, kudos to this ownership group looking at what the fans said, and they listened to the fans. And they asked me to come back. And that was, I think, the 2010-2011 season. Again, lockout year. Ugh. And so I got all excited. I was coming back. Jeez. No, you're not. Pump the brakes. And then we sucked that year when we did come back, when we did resume hockey. And so I've been doing it really since then. So there was only a very short year or two seasons that I was not the host since 2006-2007. So it's like, again, it's been a roller coaster ride of emotions. Obviously, the year we got swept by Columbus, then redeeming ourselves last year to finally get the cup back in Tampa Bay. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy run, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
Well, that ownership group is really well-loved. You can tell both by the players and seeing them celebrate after winning the Stanley Cup, and just from seeing the product on the ice, you can tell that they are doing a really great job connecting with the fans and the players and everything. But I've been dying to know, speaking of the Stanley Cup,
yes.
Were you at the boat parade? Were you on a boat? Okay. What was that like? This was please confirm that this was the first ever boat parade for the Stanley Cup in history.
Yes, it was 100%. So I was not privy to the boat parade because I was with everybody else at Raymond James Stadium getting ready for the big celebration. So the boat parade, and again, a lot of that came through last minute, and it's, you know, trust me, what I was witnessing from where I was at was equally as epic as the things that were happening in the boat parade. But you guys, you saw the videos. I mean, with Killer, you know, with the belt and his jet ski, you know, and his whole doc talk thing. Again, I think when you said connecting with the fans and the love, even during the COVID times, we were finding ways to connect with fans. Like Alex was doing the Doc Talk series on his jet ski, going
hashtag
to, you know,
influencer.
Influencer, the killer with the influencer. So yeah, so I mean, we were doing stuff. I was hosting Turbo Trivia so that people could play, you know, trivia every Wednesday night to connect in a live broadcast format like this. When we were on the road and in the bubble, we created what was a second screen so that when you're watching the game at home, you were able to log in either on your tablet, your phone, your computer. And we literally took Lightning Vision, our Jumbotron screen, if you will, and put that in the palm of your hand. So as you're watching the game, we were live at the arena, basically broadcasting the same game night experience that was, you know, the trivia, that was games, that was crowd prompts, that was me and Thunderbug, like with signs like Go Bolts. And you could play along and tap on your phone and cheer. And so we did everything we could to stay connected to the fan base so that when we did win the cup, it was extra special for the fans to at least be able to go outside and, you know, line the waterways and do everything we could in that world at that time to socially distance and all that. But it was just one of those things that you don't know what's going to happen. You can't plan any of that. You just kind of set it up and let it be as it may. And it was epic. The video footage was epic. So no, I wasn't at the parade. We were broadcasting the parade because it was on all the news stations here at the stadium, but the stadium was where the big gathering was.
Right.
And so obviously Raymond James Stadium, open air, outdoors. It set the right tone. Again, pod seating, they did everything right. And so I'm at the stadium and we're watching the boat parade on the huge screens at Raymond James, and looking at the time, because it was supposed to start at a certain time, right? And so, so we're looking at the clock and I'm like, they haven't even gotten to the destination that they're supposed to be at to get on the trolleys to get to Raymond James Stadium. Now, they're gonna have police escorts, there's not gonna be traffic, but we are way behind the times. So the staging is set at Raymond James. They're way behind where they're supposed to be. We have a stadium full of people at this point. So it's my job to go out there and basically play hype man for 90 minutes.
Whoa.
And well, again, yes, that was a long time to keep fans engaged, but you have to remember too, the circumstances surrounding that celebration. They just wanted to be outside. They wanted to be together. So we played off of that. We had live DJs. I worked for a hip hop station here in Tampa for almost 8 years. So that whole, crowd call and response, we did that in the clubs for years. So you really had to take some of those bits and pieces of those things you've learned over the years and put it to use in that situation. And it was a lot of, you know, making stuff up on the fly, you know, trying to go through the top 10, you know, fan voted players. I was making stuff up and screaming out names, who, you know, Kucherov, and everybody screaming back. So literally that went on for 90 minutes until they got there. And then when they got there, they are lit. All of them are lit. And they should be, you know what I mean? It's this is what they worked their whole lives for. And so they're lit. And we have all of the Tampa dignitaries in the front row because the players, you know, we had seating and everybody's on the staging area. And the front row is, you know, our Tampa dignitaries. It's our mayor. It's like the chief of police. It's like, you know, it's serious. Phil Esposito. Yeah, like Phil Esposito. It's Mr. Vinnick. It's Steve Griggs. It's like all the powers that be. And that's when Drunk Kucherov showed himself for the very first time to fans. And the interactions, like you said, of Kucherov and Vinnick.
And you Big know, Rig. Was the rig all crazy there at that? Was that the event?
Yes. Big Rig.
The glasses.
Who instantly became, Florida man. We have transformed Big Rig into Florida man with the hat and the glasses and no shirt. I mean, it became legendary. We made t-shirts for these guys based upon these characters at the celebration. I mean, it was next level. I actually, you said a funny story. Again, I'm watching all of this because I'm hosting and introducing, and Kucherov, again, two sheets to the wind. He had, I think he was double fisted with beers at the time. And so he's just, you know, in his own world, and he's like talking to somebody and not realizing that his beer is upside down. And Mr. Vinnick is in front of him in a seat, and he is dumping his beer on Vinnick's entire back and everything. And I'm like, oh my God. But Vinnick, again, he's in the moment. He doesn't care. It's expected. But I didn't expect Kucherov to dump a beer on Jeffrey Vinnick. And nobody really saw it because, mind you, it's behind in the commotion, but I saw it all. And I was like, oh, my God, he just dumped a beer on our owner, dude. But then, you know, he played it along. And it was just such a remarkable night looking back on it. I mean, because it's hard to live in that moment when you're working and you still have a job to do, but you're trying to enjoy it all and breathe it all in. But looking back on it now, it was a legendary, epic event. I'm sad that I wasn't in the boat parade stuff, but again, I watched it happen, and I was a part of the bigger celebration at the stadium.
So who do you think did a better boat parade, the Lightning or the Bucks?
I have to go with the Lightning just because we did it first.
The Bucks
again, they didn't, we set the tone, right? So we showed them the way to do it. And the Bucks did a fantastic job. But if I had to say one thing, and this is the only thing I could critique them on, because Tom Brady will forever live in folklore for throwing the Lombardi Trophy and same thing, we had Drunk Kucherov and there was Drunk Tom Brady. But the one thing I think they should have done was, which we did, was when they had the boats with the players on the boats, they draped over the sides of the boats the numbers and the names of the players. So you knew on that boat it was Kucherov and Palat, and over there's Tyler Johnson and Matthew Joseph or whatever it was. The Bucks, because they're a bigger roster, mind you, we're not a football team roster, they had multiple boats. So Antonio Brown and Gronk are on this boat, and the whole defensive line is on this two-story boat. They needed to have signage. They needed to be able to have signs on those boats so that the fans would have known as they were going, you know, up and down the waterways
who was on which boat. Like if you're not on a boat in the water and you're on the road, you can't see this like a little person if they're not close enough to land.
Correct. So that was the one thing, if I had to critique them, is that, and again, they had to put this together so last minute.
But they had an example. They had the Tampa Bay Lightning. They saw how it could be done and they didn't do it.
That was just one of those, that was one small detail they could have done. But other than that, it was also another legendary experience. I mean, just, we were a part of that too. Cause again, all the sports teams in Tampa, you know, we use the hashtag Team Tampa Bay, and I don't know how it is in other cities, but our city really has embraced each other. All the teams have, we just had a Champions Day that all the mayors, the mayor of St. Pete, Tampa, because we had the AL championship for the Rays. We had the Stanley Cup. We had the Lombardi Trophy, and the Rowdies won their division as well. So for the major trophies, it's never really happened before. So all of our teams have embraced each other at the Lightning games. We will showcase. I had Shaq Barrett in the Lombardi Trophy with me at the Lightning games. We had the Stanley Cup, and the whole crew brought it to a Bucks game. So we're very good about supporting each other, which has only made our city better and stronger. And I absolutely love that about Tampa.
That's awesome. So did you go to the boat parade for the Bucks then, or did you just watch it on TV?
So I also have a marketing company that I own called Street Laced Marketing and Promotions. And we are the main entertainment provider for the Buccaneers. They have an area at Raymond James called Bucks Beach. And we activate that area on game days. Our DJs are the official DJs of the Buccaneers as well. So we were involved in that regard, with our DJs being actually on the player boats, having to get clearance at the Port of Tampa to get their equipment loaded. And again, a lot of this stuff was last minute. So there was a lot of behind the scenes details and situations that my company was handling. So again, I personally wasn't able to enjoy that whole situation because I had, you know, ownership, business responsibilities I was taking care of, but we were still involved in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah definitely.
Okay. Take us, that's what, like, the whole thing is just so freaking incredible. And I, like, you can feel the excitement, like, even if you hate the Lightning, which nobody does, right? But like,
you'd be surprised. There's a lot of haters, especially now. There's a lot of haters, but that's cool.
But like, either way, if you're a true fan of the sport and of hockey, and like, you know just how incredible it is to win the Stanley Cup, and like you were saying, in the time of COVID and all of this, like, you can feel from you the way you're describing this just how exciting it was. And I think it really came through across like all the social media videos and the players and like the whole thing. But take us inside Amalie.
So when you think of Amalie, think of the word family, and that's actually their slogan. Amalie. Is we're the Amalie family, so the whole crew there is family.
So take us inside Amalie arena. Let's give us an example of what it was like before COVID. We obviously know everything is like weird now. So like, describe it, tell people about the lightning bolts and like your in-game experience.
So I'm going to give that to you again from the perspective of visiting fans, because not only do we talk to visiting fans all the time that come to our building, but we also have other folks in the industry that will come shadow us. Our game day director, John Franzone, is one of the absolute best in the business. And he came from the Yankees and Disney. So he's been through brands and understands the game presentation aspect better than any other person in sports that I've worked with. And I've worked with quite a few. And he has set the standard so high that our game day or game night presentation, when you come to Amalie Arena, it is unlike any other sporting event, any other venue, any other team in the league. I've been to other markets and seen their game presentation. The only one that I have to separate from everybody is Vegas. Just because Vegas is Vegas, number one, but number two, their budget is probably 20 times the budget of any other team in the league because they're in Vegas. You have to put on a show in Vegas, especially if it's hockey, like, and it's amazing. I mean, I was able to shadow that group 2 years ago and see from the backstage perspective of what do they put into their game night. And so I have to separate them from everybody else because it's unfair. But I'm saying from our perspective, and this is what I hear from fans, is that was more than just a game. It wasn't just, I came here to watch hockey. I was thoroughly entertained between the vignettes, the video pieces, the pump videos, the music, the entertainment, the engagement that you do with fans, you know, the community heroes. I mean, Jeffrey Vinnick, I don't even know how many millions of dollars now he has put into our community with the Community Heroes program, which I believe is now in its 10th year. $50,000 every single game that he has donated to a local community hero. I can't even tell you hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of charities at this point that he has had an impact. The Lightning has had an impact in our community. And that's what you were talking about, is the city, the excitement. It starts at the top and it comes all the way down. So through the game experience, through how it it's infectious in the community hockey, the Lightning made hockey programs. It's unbelievable what they've done in Florida, and people poo-pooed the idea of hockey in Florida forever. And when you said the Lightning have probably no haters, we have a lot of haters because people do not believe hockey, especially those that are fans of the original six, really don't believe that hockey should be, you know, thriving in a sunshine state. I mean, I get it, guys, but when you realize that people like Steven Stamkos, who could have been a legend in Toronto, in his hometown, chose to come here because of the culture, because of the vibe that Tampa has, and now he's brought us a Stanley Cup, and you heard him, this is the greatest hockey town ever, is what he said, and I'm sure Steven Stamkos knows, growing up in Canada. So the game presentation is just a reflection of all of it. So we always showcase our community hockey. We're always showcasing our community heroes. We're putting kids in positions to do things to thrive. We're teaching the next level of us. Because again, with John Franzone, that's the one thing he has instilled in all of us, is we have to teach. You know, if we're going to teach the next level of game presenters and the next level of hosts and the next level of production folks and social media coordinators, we've come up through the ranks and we've been here for so many different eras that we've evolved. And now we need to teach the next group what we do so that that legacy can continue. And again, that's just kind of the perspective that the team has instilled in all of us. But the game presentation is second to none. You're always going to be entertained. Like you said, the Tesla coils, we have two Tesla coils in that building that anytime we score a goal, we're letting kids, we're letting dignitaries fire those Tesla coils. Cause again, you are the Lightning. We are the Thunder. You are the Lightning. I want to say when Vinnick decided that he wanted Lightning in the building, those two Tesla coils, which have been replaced now, I believe twice, because I don't think that they were initially created to be used as frequently as we use them. So sometimes they leak and they have issues, and I get it. It's electronic equipment. We all know it's not foolproof. But they're like, I want to say next to one of, and maybe it's in a museum in Chicago or something. They're the two biggest in the world. Mm-hmm. So again, that element of I'm in the building and I look up and it's literally Lightning in the building. It's a really amazing experience to see that, because it's something you see in science class or at Mosey or whatever. So to have that in the game definitely sets us apart from everybody else. Our organist, Christoph, and the organ that was built specifically for the arena. Christoph is not only one of the best organists in the world, he's also the main organist for Disney. So again, when you're going for these individuals who are the best in the business, and it absolutely shows every time you walk in that building. And again, from the ushers, the people that you meet, the fans, just everything about our building is top notch. And I know that it starts at the top again, and they always pride themselves on being a world-class organization, and it absolutely is 100%.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. I mean, it's obvious why you're a huge Lightning fan in general, but how did you get into hockey to get to this point?
So it's funny you should ask, because it wasn't too long ago that I dug up something in my closet that it didn't even dawn on me until I found this. And I was like, because again, I grew up in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore metro area. And so we grew up, you know, Redskin fans, you know, Washington Capitol fans. And so, but we were more football than hockey. Mm-hmm. And so in high school, when I was up there, we had a media day, and I was in a journalism class at my high school, and they had a media day for the Washington Capitals. So our journalism class got invited to come to the Washington Capitals media day. And that was an opportunity for us to go to morning skate. After morning skate, we got to take a tour of the building. We got to interview the players like the normal media. And, cool. You know, we got sticks signed. It was a really, really cool experience. And at the end of that, you were supposed to submit like some sort of essay or something to the Capitals organization, their PR department. And they were going to choose one of the essays to win a scholarship. And so, and I didn't remember any of this until I saw this and it all came rushing back. So I guess I submitted an essay for this and I didn't win, but I did get a letter from the Washington Capitals. And I want to say it was from like 91 or 92. And it basically said, thank you so much for participating in our media day. You know, thank you for your amazing essay, blah, blah, blah. While you weren't a winner, you were all winners in our book, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't realize, oh no, there was a line in the letter that said, we hope that your experience here today shapes your future or something along the lines, like it has some sort of impact on your future and whatever career path that you decide to go down. And again, now I'm, you know, 14 years into hosting for an NHL organization. And I found that letter probably 3 or 4 years ago. And when I read it, I was dumbfounded because of that line by saying, we hope that your experience here had an impact that leads to something in your future. And here I am, a 14-year veteran in the NHL. I didn't realize that may have had something subliminally in my mind that directed me into this world. I had no idea I was going to end up in the NHL. Cause again, I came from the radio world. I was, on the radio here in Tampa at a station, which is now Wild 94.1. But when I started it was 98.7, but it was a startup station when I was a senior at USF. And so, I finagled my way to get in promotions for this brand new radio station. And kind of became intrigued with the radio world and did promotions in radio and basically worked my way up the ranks, did weekend programming, was like the weekend guy. Then I became like the weekend night guy. And then I became the night guy for the radio station, was the night guy for almost 7 years, had the number one rated show in Tampa. And the guy that hired me to be in promotions at this radio station, his name is Mark Gullett. He left, he was the vice president of marketing for the station. He left to go take the job as vice president of marketing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Wow. And that was in 1999. Now, me being the guy on the radio on the night show and being a hockey team in our market, we did promotions all the time together because, I mean, it goes hand in hand, radio, ticket giveaways, the whole nine. So we obviously worked together in a different capacity over the years. And when my contract was up at the radio station, I was getting interviewed at different stations across the country, but nothing really... it didn't really fit. I didn't feel like anything was the right fit. And so I reached out to Mark and I said, hey, you know, I'm a free agent. You know, we've worked well over the years. You've seen me come from nothing to the number one rated show in Tampa. And, you know, he obviously said, I would love to give you some sort of job, but he didn't have anything in his department. Nothing was available. And he held on to my resume. And sure enough, maybe 2 months after that conversation, he called me and was like, hey, I may have something that you might be good for. And I was like, I came to the arena, we chit-chatted. He kind of let me know what he was thinking about this marketing position. The person he had in that spot really wasn't working out for him. And so sure enough, all the things lined up and I ended up being his marketing coordinator for the Lightning. Again, that was in 2006. And having that radio experience of being in front of crowds, being on a microphone, the way I became host was, back then, the Lightning had two hosts, which a lot of professional sports teams, especially in the NBA, have co-hosts. They'll have a female and a male. Mm-hmm. And back then, the Lightning had a female and a male, Jenny and Todd. And on this one particular day, Todd had, he was either out of town on business or something. Jenny Dean, 2 hours before puck drop, has a family emergency, has to leave. So I'm in my office, which is literally a door down from my boss. And I hear the game night director then in my boss's office, basically freaking out. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we're 2 hours from puck drop. You know, we got to give game night. She just called out. She had to go. Like, and so I'm eavesdropping and I literally knock on his door and I'm like, I'm not trying to interrupt, guys, but I overheard what you were saying. And Mark, I'm like, you know, I'm more than capable to hop in. I've watched enough hockey to know what needs to be done. I'm more than happy to help you guys out tonight. And so he looked at the director. He's like, I don't think you have much choice. You might as well throw in the Wolf. And they're like, Wolf, you're in. So they got my earpiece in, had my script for me. And they're like, we'll walk you through everything. Just stick to the script. But on the game stuff and the intermission stuff, you're going to have to kind of ad lib some of those things. I'm like, guys, I got you. And I had an absolute blast hosting that game because, again, I'm a fan. I work for the team, but I'm a fan. And so to now be able to be like the biggest fan, like I'm the cheerleader of all fans, I took that ball and I ran with that. Same thing I did at the radio station. If I give me an opportunity, I'm going to make the most of it. And crushed it. And they were like, this is so good to know that, God forbid, we have another situation or we need a substitute. We can throw in the Wolf. And so the very next season, 2007 season, Todd gets a job out of the market. Jenny Dean gets a job on the news station here in Tampa, and the job became available. And because I had subbed, there was like no auditions. I don't remember them ever having like an audition for this. I just kind of like fell into the role. And that led to me taking over the arena football team. And again, I did that from 07 to 09. Cowboys come in, we're all out. New owners come in, back in, and then did that ever since. So here we are in 2021, 2022, still doing it to this day. So that's kind of been my path of how I got to this point as a host. And again, that has led to me taking over those duties for the University of South Florida, which is my alma mater, for the football programs and men's and women's basketball program. Because again, a gentleman I had worked with in radio was the vice president of marketing for the Rays. He left the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, took the job as marketing vice president for University of South Florida. Knowing my relationship, knowing I was an alumni, they didn't have a host for football or basketball, which he was dumbfounded. He's like, how do we not have a host for football? And being able to provide that engagement with our fans to like keep things moving between plays and like, how are we doing sponsorship giveaway? He was asking all his questions. And so I interviewed for that with a bunch of other people and they felt that I was the right fit. And here we are now going into my eighth season for USF football and men's and women's basketball as well.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Staying busy here in Tampa.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You know, I've had a similar career path as you, though different. I started in radio. I was in marketing. I did an internship. I worked in news. I took more of the news route outside of radio, but I loved radio. Like radio was so much fun. And then 100%. I got to do weekends. I would fill in on air on the weekends while I was a senior in college and you know, the whole experience.
Get it.
Oh, I get it. Like, you've got to take those opportunities. Like when the 100%. News director is like, hey, what do you think about, you know, we're killing the promotions team. Cause this was like Katrina, post Katrina. This was in New Orleans. So everything was shifting. And he was like, well, we could put you on air on the weekends and the weekday nights. And I was like, sure, whatever you want. Like, I just have class on whatever day at this time or whatever, you know? And it was awesome. But
what was the format?
We were B97, all the hits.
Okay.
So like top new, 40.
Like, okay, top 40. Okay, that's what top we 40. We were hits and hip hop. So Wild 98.7 hits and hip hop. Originally we were Tampa Bay's party station. So we were top 40, but we didn't conform. Like you may hear a Limp Bizkit song next to you know, a Keith Sweat song next to you know, Justin Bieber we were all over the place, but that's why people loved us. Cause we were definitely like a party station, but
we were straight top 40. I got lots of stories from my radio days, but anyway, I digress. But I understand a lot of what you're saying about your career path. And, I wanted to ask you, I have other questions to ask you I'm off air because I think you might know my cousin and you might know some other people in radio that I know from Orlando because I also lived in Orlando. So I'll ask you that later. All but give us a story of either like a great story of interacting with a fan or a player, or I don't know, just something fun or funny or wild and crazy that's happened outside of what you've already given us.
I'll give you two tidbits. These are two of the more recent experiences that I feel kind of brought us to the path of the Stanley Cup. So when you talk about a funny story, and you can search this if you so shall choose after this podcast. So it was, I want to say it was either when we had Peter Budaj, who was our backup goalie. I don't remember if it was the 2016 season. I don't remember what season it was, but we always have a Thunder Kid skater. So at the beginning of the game, as part of our tradition, we play Thunderstruck from AC/DC, and the kid does rings around. He basically, it's a boy or a girl, part of our community hockey. So the kid skates out, and the blue crew is behind him with flags. And so the kid does circles around the arena and basically makes his way or her way to the center of the lightning bolt, and they pump their fist to the thunder, and they have a lit up LED stick. And that's how we basically set the game off every game. And it's awesome. And so Peter Budaj, his son, Peter Budaj Jr., was our Thunder Kid for this particular Stanley Cup playoff game. And so as part of that, I interview the kid during one of the intermissions, or maybe it was at a time, I want to say it was during one of the game whistles or timeouts or whatever. And so I always tell the kids, because, you know, a lot of these kids are nervous because they know they're going to be on TV or they're going to be in front of the whole crowd. So I always try to, like, you know, dumb things down for them, just kind of calm them down. Like, look, this is not like you're not going to be grilled. I'm just going to ask you basic questions that you know the answer to, like, where do you play hockey? Like, how long have you been playing hockey? You know, what's your favorite position to play? Do you like forward, goalie? Who's your favorite? I always end it, though, with who's your favorite player. I'm talking to Peter Budaj Jr. And again, you can search this. It's on the NHL Network's web or NHL.com. So I'm interviewing him, and I give him the whole rundown. Like, Peter, we're going to talk about, you know, how have you ever played hockey with dad? Like, because he was a little bit different because, I'm, you know, he's one of the player's sons. So my questions were a little bit more geared towards his experiences with his dad. But still, how long have you been playing hockey? You know, have you scored goals against dad and things like that? And so at the very end, all right, so Peter, you know, who's your favorite Tampa Bay Lightning player? And you're expecting him to obviously say his dad. And before he could even think, he blurts out Nikita Kucherov. And then, like, he realizes, you see his face, like, he realized he spoke, like, he was thinking, and it came out. And he was like, Nikita Kucherov. And then he was like, oh, my God. And then he goes, and my dad. And then so, like, he knew the whole thing. My face was also like, did he just say Nikita Kucherov over his dad? And so you can see me stall for a second. And then he's like, and my dad. And I was like, say that again. He's like, and my dad. And I was like, you know, dad was going to be mad if he didn't say that. So the crowd lost. And it was such a good moment that the NHL Network picked that up and they put that on their website. So that's why I feel like it's still on NHL.com. So if you go search Peter Budaj Jr., you'll probably find it. So that's one of those moments that was a great, and those are the things you can't script. You don't know what fans are going to say. And, you know, it's just,
kids
one of those,
are great too. Cause kids can surprise you with their responses just
all
like that, you know,
all the time. So those are really good ones. Also the military homecomings are also,
don't make us cry. We don't want to cry on the podcast.
I'm not
going
to make you cry because you've seen the videos. I don't have to go into detail, but to be a part of those is it never gets old. It's one of my favorite parts of what I do because you know the excitement that's about to happen, and you know the setup because you're a part of it. And it's just like, you know, you're waiting for that moment when, you know, something drops or dad comes out on the bench or whatever it is, and you're looking at the kids or the mom. Oh my God, there's never a dry. And that's hard because sometimes I get choked up. So sometimes, like, I still have things to read. So if I'm introducing and, oh my God, welcome home, dad. And so you got to let that moment breathe because people are crying and there's music and there's clapping, but I still have normally a blurb to like back sell, you know, where, how long dad's been away or mom's been away or what the sponsor messages. And when you're also caught up in that moment and you're choked up, it's like, you have to recompose yourself very quickly and get through the last part of your read and get out of the situation. But those are also some of my absolute very favorite things to do as a host. Player story, and again, this is 100% tied into our Stanley Cup rings, which I don't know if you guys have seen.
They're incredible with the spinning cup on the top.
The spinning cup. Yes. So the spinning, and this is kind of where I'm going with the story. So all the details on the ring from the records from each of the different rounds of the playoffs, the total overtime minutes during the game versus Columbus, where it went to 5 overtimes. But when the ring spins and it exposes the 2 hockey sticks, and I want to say there's a black gem in there, and it says Stockholm. And the reason for that, as they will explain if you read the little tidbit about the ring, was they keep referring back to that trip to Stockholm for the NHL Global Series, where they say the team came together. I was privy to not only be the host of the NHL Global Series for the National Hockey League for that particular trip, but I was also privy to being at a sports bar on the night before our first game. Or actually, I think it was 2 nights before the first game, because they didn't go out drinking the night before their game. That wouldn't have been good. I want to say it was 2 nights before the very first game that we played Buffalo. And so, first of all, to be selected by the NHL to go host a global event, to me, was another highlight of my career, not knowing, you know, how all that was going to play out. That whole experience was remarkable. And we swept Buffalo, by the way, in Sweden. But this one particular night, we were invited to come hang out, basically, with the players and the team. And when I say we, there was a small group of us from the Lightning and a small group from Buffalo that were in Sweden. And so myself, Stephen Frey, who is basically John Franzone, but he was his understudy, so to speak. He kind of does our game night directing now. John's more in the booth. John was supposed to go, but I think he had a surgery scheduled. So Stephen went on behalf of the Lightning to direct the game nights that were our, we were considered the home team. So it was me, Stephen, Kinsey, who was our social media coordinator, and maybe one or two other people from the mascots obviously had to be there. And then the rest was just PR people, teams, coaching, and whatnot. So to be a part of that experience was remarkable. But we were invited on this one night to come hang out with what we thought was more the coaching and the PR guys to go to this sports bar in downtown Stockholm. And so we're like, yeah. And they actually have scooters in Stockholm like we have here in Tampa. So we all hopped on our little rental scooters. And it was cold in Sweden then too. So that was not great going on a scooter and you're freezing. But we go to this sports bar. And the owner of the sports bar is good friends with Victor Hedman. Because obviously Hedman is from Sweden and is a god, by the way, in Stockholm and in Sweden for good reason.
But so, and he also looks like a god.
He looks like a god. He is godly. And his luxurious hair, I mean, he is godly. So we go to this sports bar and it was closed, like meaning to the public, it was closed. And we get in there and we see Bill Wickett, who is the director of player personnel. And he invites us to come in and have some beers. And so we kind of sit down and then we look over in the bar area and it is all of the players, like all of them, all the players, all the coaches, and us. And the players are having a good time. Now, mind you, these guys are like in their 20s, you know, like some of them are in their early 30s, but they're young guys. So when they're not in pads and uniform, they look like everybody else. You know what I mean? So they were just all hanging out, laughing, like enjoying each other's company. Like you could just tell it was very warm and inviting in this room. And I'm in this room and I'm like,
am I supposed to be here?
I'm like, exactly. I'm like, I feel like this is super cool for us because like we're a part of the team and I'm hosting and it's awesome. But like, I don't feel like I belong because I'm not, we don't interact with the players like that. People think like we do. And yeah, we do like when it comes to charity function and off the ice stuff, but not in this capacity, mm-hmm. Not where I'm in a closed off environment that's for the players to enjoy themselves and not be bothered by the public. And so they're all drinking and hanging out. You could just tell, like, there's a lot of camaraderie going on right now. You know what I mean? And so I talked to Bill Wickett and I pull him to the side because it was just such a good vibe. And I was like, Wick, I'm like, these guys do this all the time when they're on the road, huh? And he goes, what do you mean? I was like, well, I mean, they all look like they're having a great time hanging out with each other. And he goes, they never get to do this. And I'm like, and I thought about it. I'm like, you're right. Because I guess when they go on a 2-game road trip or whatever, or they're on a road trip, there have very, it's structured, like from the time you get to the team hotel to time you have practice to downtime you have in your room or where you can go eat something, then you have to go back in the morning. And so they don't get time to just go out as a group and hang out with each other. And so he's like, they never get to do this. And so just watching them that night, hanging out, we were all hanging out with them and the coaches, we just all were having a good time. And it absolutely set the tone, if you will, for the rest of that trip. And that trip is what really, as they say, was the night that they all came together. They said the trip is when they all came together, but that was the only night because again, it was game night, then we were home. So that was the night. And I was there, I was a part of it, I witnessed it. And no lie, we're all getting ready to leave the bar because they'd shut down. One of the soccer teams over there or something had won a championship. Again, Victor Hedman knows these guys. And so I hear them over talking that they're going to go to, some of them are going to go to this club. And Victor's like, hey, we got invited to come party with them for their championship. And I'm like, I'm not going to that. Like, I'm going to go back to the hotel. And so one of the girls, Liz is with the front office. She's been there forever. Her name is on the Stanley Cup. Cool. Liz was a little tipsy, as were some of the other people. And Liz, and I don't know Liz well enough to know her to not, you know, be a little wild. And so I guess Liz hopped on a scooter and was like, go, go, Gadget, like, follow me. I know where we're going. And like gets on the scooter and almost eats it, like almost hits a curb and goes flying. And Pat Maroon and the guys were seeing this too. And they're dying laughing. Like we all saw it and we're dying laughing. He's like, who's going to go get her? And so like, this was really the time, like I didn't know Pat Maroon's personality like that. And now we see him as the big rig. Like it was just such a funny, just fun moment, fun night. And sure enough, the next, you know, two games in Sweden, we dominate Buffalo and we go on and win the Stanley Cup. And they keep reverting back to that night, or they say the trip, but it was really that night. And wow. So for me to now be a Stanley Cup champion with them, I'm even more connected to that ring because I was there. I was a part of it. I lived it. And so it's even more special now to see it and know that I had a little piece of that. I had a little bit of it. So, but what a remarkable trip that was. What a remarkable experience that was. I've also hosted the NHL All-Star Game when it was in Tampa a few years back. Got to host the red carpet, which was, again, one of those surreal moments because I'm literally announcing all the players as they come on the red carpet. And as the host of the red carpet, the director told me, you're going to announce three guys at a time. They're going to come off the bus. They're in groups of three. They have handlers that have sticks with their names on it. You get to choose whoever you want to talk to. So it's like,
what?
You get to choose. Yeah. So they literally, like, the guys know that you're going to pick one of the three to ask a question to kind of set the tone for the red carpet. And I was prepared because I said, I need to know all the guys so that I came prepared with cue cards. So whoever I chose, like, I didn't want to talk to Sidney Crosby. I'm sure fans, what are you talking to? I'm a Lightning fan. I'm not talking to Sidney Crosby. So like, I would like pick and choose who I wanted to speak to. But again, that was a super, super cool experience. So I've done a pretty good job. I think for my friends at the NHL, for them to have me do like a global series event was remarkable. And I'm truly honored and humbled looking back that I was able to be a part of that. But those are two stories, kid player related, that stick out in my mind that are still fresh in my mind.
But did you talk to Roman Josi?
I did not. I don't think I talked to Josi.
That's Breezy's favorite player.
I talked to King Henry because obviously he was so dapper that day. Like, I mean, these guys, first of all, their suits cost more than my house. obviously, I talked to our guy, Stamkos. I talked to Subban because he and Stamkos go back as kids. And again, I don't remember everybody I talked to. I talked to a lot of guy, Burnsy. I talked a lot. And I got to also co-host the mascot game with my buddy Mike Todd from Columbus, who was awesome. So just really, the NHL has been very good to me. I mean, really, I've had a lot of cool experiences over the years. I'm very fortunate.
Do you have a ring? Did you get to buy a ring?
So I'm getting a ring, yes. But I don't know if you guys knew this. there's a lot of shortages in the world right now, especially lumber. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to
lumber
news,
prices very high.
Okay, so lumber is ridiculous right now, but there's also shortages in other textiles and things of that nature. And the ring has a lot of blue sapphires in it with the amount of diamonds. But I think if I recall hearing correctly, there was a sapphire shortage. And so to them to get the rings for the players, I think that was like a race. I want to say it probably almost came down to that day before they got to Vinix to have that private ceremony to get their rings presented to them. I want to say it almost came down to the day. So those of us that are with the organization, there's no rush for us. I get them. We're getting ready to get into the next run. It would have been weird to give them a ring before, like in, it just wouldn't have. But for us, we don't care. Well, I'll wait till next year if you want to wait till next year. So I have no idea. I'm on standby right now, but I have been told and have been instructed that I will be getting a piece of hardware.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Well, I have one more question for you before we get to our final three.
You got it.
What would you say to either a fan or a visiting fan coming to the arena? What is like a must do or like a must sit in section or
drink.
Well, first of all, again, I'm not trying to brag about our arena, but it's Emily is one of the best.
It's fine.
It is. And, I mean, again, Vinick has put millions and millions and millions of dollars into that arena to get it to be an experience. And again, with the way trends are and the way that we consume things now and how the world we live in, the COVID era has absolutely changed everything. Everything now is touchless. Everything is no touch. So all the bathrooms, you're not going to touch a sink. You're not going to touch a toilet. Everything flushes on its own. You get your own dispenses. Even food now, you order by QR code. So you come in the building, you scan the QR code, whether it's on the screen, it's all over the walls. You scan the QR code, you order whatever you want from your phone. You sit in your seat. They send you a text when your food is ready. You go and you have a bag ready, like an Uber pickup bag with your name on it. You pick it up. You go to your seat.
So no waiting in line.
No waiting in lines. No, I'm telling you, like the digital, you can load your. You have a digital app that you can load money onto. You can have. If you're in certain sections, they will. If you want to buy a shirt, like if there's a special on these Tampa Bay Lightning tumblers on the team store now, 50% off. Depending on where you are in the building, you can order, they'll bring it to your seat. Like it's unreal, the technology and how Vinick and Steve Griggs and these guys have got the way of the world that we're in now, how they've integrated that into the game experience and how that has changed the game experience and will continue to moving forward. So the fact that everything is touchless, you feel completely safe knowing that they've adapted to the trends now. But the food options are endless. It does, and they've done an amazing job of incorporating local. So a lot of the restaurant booths are local fare. A lot of the beers, obviously Tampa Cigar City is huge. We have the Cigar City Lounge, which is on our plaza area out at Amalie. You definitely want to get to the game early because of the entertainment on Ford Thunder Alley, live music, live bands. There's vendors out there, games to play, amazing food, Cigar City Tap Room. When you come in the building, again, sight and sensory overload, just from interactive walls to directional signage to the concerts that are coming up to things that you, it's just, it's an experience. Not even talking about the stuff that's happening during the game, but if you come to the arena, you definitely want to get there early just to experience the whole vibe of Ford Thunder Alley before you head into the game. I would also suggest that you check out all the different levels. If you're a 100 level concourse who's sitting on the lower, cool, but go up to the 300 level. Go check out the Bud Light Party, the rooftop that overlooks downtown Tampa. It is one of the best views of the city, and anybody can go up there at any time. We have a Heineken rooftop that overlooks Sparkman Wharf. That's on the club level. These are areas you need to go explore when you come to the building. There's amazing art along the walls, some that are local artists, some that are hockey-themed art. It's really a sight sensory overload, and you need to soak it all up when you come into that building. And just all the cool things around the arena. We have Sparkman Wharf, which is literally a walk down from the arena where there's all these food options and outdoor bar areas and games, and it's right by the water, and our Water Street District is under construction right now, but just there's amazing things happening in downtown Tampa, and Jeffrey Vinick is a part of all of it. All of it. It's unreal.
All right.
Crazy. Well, I feel like I need to go for like
you do.
5 games in order for it to
get it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick a week where we have like 3 or 4 home games, and you definitely want, you'll trust me, it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take you. Yep. We'll do it.
Awesome. So we ask all of our guests these final 3.5 questions.
Okay.
I think we've already know one of the answers to one of your questions, but okay. Who is your ultimate hockey hunk?
We have a lot of hunks on our team. We may have one of the best looking hockey teams in all the sports or all of the NHL. A lot of guys with luxurious haircuts and locks of love. But like you said earlier, I mean, Victor Hedman is a good looking gentleman. I mean, he looks like Thor. He's Swedish. His suit game is second to none. He literally will open up his suit and you'll have Tampa Bay Lightning fabric on one side and he'll have Sweden on the other side. I mean, his suit game, he's a good looking gentleman. I'm gonna have to go with, you can't go wrong with Hedy the Hunk. I mean, come on.
No.
Flows off the tongue.
It does. And who is your favorite hockey lady? It can be player, broadcaster, reporter, anything like that.
I did have a favorite. She kind of went more to Major League Baseball, but she's super, super knowledgeable. It was Kelly Nash. She worked for Fox Sports Sun, but now she's with the she was with the MLB Network. But when I had time to interact with Kelly, you know, when she would be at games doing sideline reporting stuff, she was fantastic, just with her knowledge. But for us, I mean, if I have a favorite, I have to go with Kaylee Chelios. I mean, she's our Tampa Bay Lightning reporter. Obviously, her dad, hockey legend, Chris Chelios. So Kaylee also, she's super, super knowledgeable. I mean, her, obviously, she comes from a hockey family. When your dad is Chris Chelios, you got brothers. You've been around the sport your whole life. To hear her insight on post-game shows, even on our Lightning Game Day Live stuff, she can hang with the big dogs anytime. I'll be surprised if the NHL Network does not nab up Kaylee at some point, but she's fantastic at what she does.
Breezy, you do the last two.
All right. Well, I think we already know the answer to this, but do you have a Sidney Crosby story?
I do not. I mean, my only Sidney Crosby story is
choosing not to interview him.
I mean, that's really it. I mean, we have a lot of crybaby Crosby fans that love to embrace that, and I love to see what the fans pull out when the Penguins are in our house with the big baby faces, like the ones that literally will try to get as close as they can to him. I've seen them where they have the baby face and then they'll stick it up against the glass when he's there for pregame warmups, and so you just see, and it's like the Crosby, and then there's this crying baby face, which I think is hilarious. But yeah, if I had to, the fact, like you just said, that I had the opportunity because I got to choose of that grouping, and I chose not to interview Sidney Crosby. But again, Lightning fans would have never let me down, because again, I couldn't have done that interview wholeheartedly and been like, oh, well, you know, Sidney, listen, I'm sorry, dude, I don't like you. You're an amazing player. Just like we hated PK Subban for the longest time. Like, I hate this guy because he's one of our nemesis. But what he does off the ice, and the stuff he does for children and the hospital stuff, it's like, I hate this guy because he's so damn good at what he does. And it's like, but you have to respect him. So I can't stand Sidney Crosby. Obviously, I respect him as a player and what he's done, but I can't stand the guy. It is what it is.
All good. That's all good. All right, the final question. Do you have a completely non-hockey related, by the way?
Okay.
Do you have any, like, a ghost story or, like, a UFO story or anything like that?
Not really. It's the first time I think I've been asked that question. no, that kind
good,
of
we're separating ourselves on the podcast market.
I don't think I do. Wow, no.
That's okay.
Nothing.
Like, no lights flickering, never going to a medium. Never seen an identified flying object.
Nothing weird in the sky over Tampa.
I haven't personally. The only thing I can tell you that I've had some sort of weird experience before was a friend of mine lived in an apartment, and she swore that there was something evil about the apartment. There was like, she would get weird vibes. She felt like there was something wrong. And so I was like, as your friend, cool, I'll come spend the night at your house because I want to see if, like, what you're talking about. And sure enough, the night that I slept at her house, Nothing. Like, I didn't hear any weird noises or anything, except for it was like 4 in the morning. And I remember I felt that there was something really close to me. Like, I felt, and I was sleeping, but I felt like almost like pressure. And again, I don't know if this is what it was, but to me, this is what I experienced. As I felt the pressure, I was almost like, what is that? And then I felt something go, like, tap me. And I woke up. I was like, what the F was that? Like, it woke me up from a deep sleep because I felt like something did this to me. And I looked, and she was sleeping on her side, on the side of the bed. So I'm like, and so I literally woke her up, and I'm like, I told her what happened. Like, I don't know what the hell that was, but I felt like something touched me. And she's like, now you know what I'm going through. And I was like, you need to get the F out of this apartment, like, now. And sure enough, she moved. And she found out later from the apartment complex, somebody was killed in her apartment. And they never told her when she moved in that somebody had died. I don't know if that was against
the
law.
They're supposed to just close that when you buy a house. Was a big, maybe not an apartment.
Well, maybe not an apartment, but somebody had been killed in that apartment. So, and I didn't realize that till years later, because then, you know, all those shows started coming on cable, like Ghost Adventures mm-hmm. and Paranormal. And then I remembered that happening. Because again, I didn't see it. I don't know if that was a bad dream. But I remember feeling that and waking up like, what the F was that? And told her, and she's like, now you understand. I was like, I'm out. And so that's the only time I've ever had anything like that out of body, or like some sort of energy. Like, I can't explain it, but I don't know if it was just a bad dream or if that was just nerves. I don't know, but that's the only thing I can relate to that.
Well, we'll leave it up to the listeners to decide if it was a dream or real. That's kind of the fun in talking about these stories.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you so much for your time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and keep up with all of your adventures and all of the things you do.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you, guys. Please follow my company on social media. It's called Street Laced. You guys can hit us up at streetlaced.com, Street Laced promo on Instagram. Me personally, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram. It's at Third Leg Greg. That's 3RDLEGGREG. On Instagram, I'm probably more active on Instagram, especially with my snaps on game days. So if you want to see that first person experience of what I see on game days, follow me on Instagram, because I do my best to make sure you guys get a first person perspective of what I do on game nights.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me today.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.